All right, welcome back into the Gary Sharp Show. Last night in Champaign, Nebraska lost to Illinois. I'm being forced to say that state's name a lot. I think I've gotten better.
Oh, yeah.
I was called out last fall, but thank you to calling me out. I must be better. Last night was as expected. I hate to say it, but you have a number five team in the country, even without an All-American and maybe National Player of the Year or Big Ten Player of the Year against the last place team in the Big Ten. That happens. I thought Nebraska got clowned a little bit. Illinois got triggered by Nebraska. And so he had a little circus that opened up with dunks and just Nebraska couldn't back some things up, and they got beat. That's kind of to be expected. Did not expect Teddy Allen to only take six shots, turn the ball over four times. Teddy Allen's got to shoot the ball more than six times. I know after the game it was said that he's got a wrist injury. I don't think we need to have that out there, because now what is every team the rest of the way going to do? I mean, they're going to bump him. They're going to ride him. And Nebraska also got sped up last night. They didn't want to go that fast. Illinois dictated the tempo, and they punked Nebraska. And they made it a very emotional game, and it became very chippy. And if you're going to beat Nebraska right now, and I know a lot of people are beating Nebraska, I mean, Fred's 12-41. If it was anybody else that didn't have the name Fred Hoiberg or that kind of past success in college, man, we'd run the guy out on the rails. But he's 12-41. Stark reality is, got to be better this time next year. That's my benchmark. Valentine's Day. Nebraska has to be mentioned as a team that's like near the bubble. Okay? Can't be in the same situation where you only have five wins. But teams that go at Nebraska, when Nebraska struggles and then teams start to punk them a little bit and you get dunks and you get guys chirping, that Nebraska's not able to handle that. Emotionally, that gets them triggered. And it's not like they back down. They respond. But you see double technicals, the whole Kelly Pfeiffer double technical stuff. You watch next year. Teddy and his game, and I think it was that wrist has to be really bothering him, because, man, he didn't put up a shot for a while. The only thing really going on offense last night for Nebraska was McGowan's. You watch next year with full arenas. Nebraska will become a villain on the road. They have some guys that will play to the crowd on the road, and with the way they play, give you a little bump here, say a little thing here. Teddy Allen will become a villain in the Big Ten next year on the road. Now, he may be able to buy right into that, and that drives him, but prepare yourself. Next year, there will be a lot of Big Ten fan bases that'll be calling Teddy Allen a jerk. They already do call him a jerk. Don't like how he plays. Okay? You know, they get the Aaron Kraft and the Brad Davison. Stop. You know, guys that are known throughout the Big Ten as a guy that's a jerk.
Yeah.
Hey, love him on your team. Against us, hate him. But full arenas next year in the Big Ten, Teddy could be one of those guys that becomes a really big villain. And that might drive him. I mean, you may get some epic performances on the road, but whatever you get, you got to get more than six shots up from the guy that is one of the rare people on that roster that can create shots. I've been harping on the basketball IQ. It's not good. I don't think it's going to change here in the last couple of weeks. But what they have to be able to change is guys trusting each other and trusting each other for 40 minutes, not stretches of 3-4 minutes, but long stretches, game stretches, where it's okay to pass the basketball, pass and move, pass and cut, pick and roll, instead of head down, dribble right into a pile. And that happened again last night. But it's such a up and down team of you don't know what you're going to get from game to game. I mean, Banton was better last night. Not great, but he was better. And Nebraska actually hit layups. Things at the rim, Nebraska was pretty successful. But that game went as I expected. I knew there was going to be a woodshed moment, and there was. Now what do you do here in the final stretch? Minnesota comes to town on Saturday. Minnesota hasn't won a road game, and they just suffered a brutal loss last night to Northwestern. Minnesota was up big in that game. That's a game, if you're trying to get into the NCAA tournament, you're on the bubble, you can't lose. Northwestern, not very good. They lost 13 in a row. Minnesota got up big, and then Minnesota blew that lead, and then began the second half with a long scoreless drought. And Northwestern, to their credit, played well, and Northwestern won the game by 8, adding to the pain that is Richard Pitino. So Nebraska comes home tomorrow, and they play Minnesota. What do you do because that team is on E? The legs are really, really heavy. The attention to the offensive glass is not there. They go through a little bit of stretches, but now I think the roof is about to cave in on the energy meter. Back-to-back games, they've given up 86. Fast break points. Illinois was moving up and down the floor. Nebraska just can't do that right now. So what's your MO? How do you operate with that being the case? You got to pick and choose your spots. Do you say, guys, let's blow it out for the first 10 to 15 minutes, and then we're just going to hold on? Or do you try and manage the game 4 minutes at a time? But I think Nebraska last night also, they kind of just showed up and played. Hey, we're here. It's on the schedule. We know what's at stake for the team we're playing. We know what kind of team we're playing. Let's just show up. Let's see if we get hot, if things go well. Just go out and play. And when you've hit the wall, we've hit the wall. There's nothing we can do about it. So last night was kind of as expected. But next year, you watch, we might make a T-shirt. The Teddy Allen villain tour of the Big Ten. He will be a very unlikable guy in opposing arenas.
Love it.
Very, very unlikable. And that's okay. I mean, we did a crossover a couple of weeks ago, and we were trying to come up with the villains, either Nebraska-related or opponents, that you could agree on. Everybody else hated that Nebraska player, or we hate that guy when he plays against Nebraska. Teddy Allen and his kind of game and his ability to score and his personality will not go well in full Big Ten arenas next year, and I'm here for it. We'll see what that does to him.
Yep.
Does that drive him? Does he have monumental performances on the road? Does he hit buckets and sprint off the floor at the end of the game, or does he blow kisses to the crowd? Now, that would be great.
That would be good.
Tomorrow, Creighton is on the road. They're in Cincinnati. That's a huge game, actually, for both teams. Creighton's next two games are pretty important for teams that right now will show up in brackets. Xavier tomorrow, and then against Villanova. You win, it's a good win. You lose, well, it just adds to Creighton has a very weird resume. They have some head-scratching losses, and then they're very solid against teams that are in the quadrant one. There's a discussion about Creighton and that weird resume is, if you put eyeballs on them, what do you think? If you just pick up the metrics, what do you think? If you pick up the Big East standings, what do you think? I think it's pretty important for Creighton to split, at least, in Cincinnati, in Philadelphia. If you split, you could probably make a case for a 4 or 5 seed. If you suffer a couple of losses, you're probably sitting at 6 or 7. But at the end of the day, in a couple of weeks when it's announced, I think Creighton will either be on the 4 or the 5 line. And that's even if they go 2-0 against Villanova and I think find their way into the Big East championship game in New York City and they win. I mean, they could win the regular season, they could win the postseason. But I don't know how much further they're going to advance up. So if you're sitting at a 4 seed, okay. If you didn't look at any metrics and you just watched Creighton play, what would you think their seed should be? 16-5. I think their net today is 20. The Big East is not helping. Villanova and Creighton are in one tier, and there's a blank spot, and then there's a questionable spot about what to do with Seton Hall or the team they're going to play tomorrow. But to me, and if you want to compare against the Gonzagas from last night who looks bored, or Michigan who I think is a national championship team, put the eyeballs on. Eyeballs probably say, you can guard like that, and you add to your offensive efficiency when things are going well, that's a 3 or a 4. But they're playing a team tomorrow that this will tell you everything you know about where Travis Steele's team is right now. You know, they've had some COVID pauses, and they're only 1-4 since Valentine's Day. Their metrics are not great. I think their net is 59. Their strength of schedule is 76. They limit a lot of extra opportunities on defense when you're shooting against them, but a lot of shots go in. I think tomorrow it's make or break for the Muskies. And it'll be a great test for Creighton because the intensity for you should already be high, but you're facing a team that has their back to the wall. And that's a game that Xavier has to win. They have to win the game. They cannot afford to lose that basketball game if they want to have a resume for the NCAA tournament, especially when you're starting to see some teams that were outside of the bubble that are working their way towards the bubble or sitting on the bubble, i.e. Michigan State or whatever happens in the ACC. That's a big, big game for the Musketeers tomorrow. But I think it will benefit Creighton because that'll be back-to-back games where they can't be bored. The intensity level is going to be high. If the intensity level on the home team tomorrow is not high, I worry about the rest of the season for Travis Steele and Xavier. They didn't look good against Providence. Now they've got another opportunity at home to put a little check mark on their resume. We'll see how they respond. All right, when we come back, Bill Connolly is 60 quarterbacks of 2000. I have some issues. But it's tough because some guys just had one great season. Cam Newton had one of the greatest individual seasons that a college quarterback has had. Tim Tebow had a long string. Baker Mayfield. Joe Burrow, one season. We could use it, that same mindset, when we're looking at Nebraska quarterbacks of the 2000s, which I ranked all the way from Eric Crouch to Andrew Bunch. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.